food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and all over mid-Michigan and wherever you're listening. We appreciate you tuning in. Little snap in the air this week. I think we're getting a break on the weekend here. Get a little, what do they call it, Indian summer. Is that politically correct? Can you use that term anymore?
I think people do.
Yeah. So, but anyway, enjoy the weekend because it's going to get cold again. It always does this time of year. But I'm Jop. That was Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, man. It is a beautiful, beautiful Michigan fall. Is it officially fall? I guess so. We're in October. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
But it's, I think we've said a number of times, my favorite time of the year, and the least favorite time of the year is right after it. So I guess right. It's kind of a slap in the face.
Right. Yeah. So, but you know, the winter time, we've already planned a vacation in February. I know you said you're going to head south for a while to get into the warmer weather. So, but right now the place to be is in the woods in Michigan.
It is.
We're outside doing something.
It is so beautiful.
Our colors are just ripping right now. And if you're up north listening, maybe yours are a little bit past peak. But I think down here, we're just getting into it.
I think this weekend is going to be the best color show of the year for Michigan.
Yeah. Yep.
If you want to get out, now's your time.
Well, and it's going to be bumping 70 where we are at. So that doesn't happen in late October at all, generally. But cool that it is. But what'd you do this week, Bob? Anything good?
Well, I have a bit of a horror tale from deer camp. Not really a horror tale. I went up with my brother-in-law, of course, bow hunting. And he's 8 years older than me and been a lifelong plumber, so his knees are shot. And he doesn't walk through the woods with a skip that I do. So I try and compensate on, you know, as much as I can. But he really mans up and tries splitting wood and doing all these things because, you know, nobody wants to admit that they're getting broken down, right? But the cold bothers him a lot. Oh, yeah. And in my effort to try and put up a permanent frame for this expedition tent, I kind of extrapolated the numbers from the bent-up frame that I inherited last December and came up with what would be center posts to hold this monster up. And I went up with my bride
a big canvas tent.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I went up with my bride a couple weeks ago, with some 4x4s and concrete and some pipe. And I put two big posts up and a pipe. Well, it was just about perfect. The sides are not bad, but one end is 10 inches off the ground and the other end is about 3 inches off the ground. And if you remember the kind of wind we had like Monday and Tuesday,
yeah,
it sucks the heat right out of that. We got a wood stove going,
yep,
nice and toasty. Until
the wind blows, huh?
So we've got a cure for it. We're going to go up and jack it up on site and take a battery powered sawzall and gnaw them down just a little bit and get that baby down on the ground so we can button it up.
Yeah, there's no floor in this tent, right? This is an old canvas tent, and not old, but I mean, it's a canvas tent with no floor. So you got to kind of, you don't want it laying on the ground so it freezes to the ground.
Well, we're going to have it. I've got it measured out so that I'll have about 2 inches on the ground.
Yeah.
Because I don't care if it freezes on the ground. That's easy to pop up. What I don't want is the wind getting under it like it did.
Yeah.
Because that is...
it'll blow your tent full of leaves and all kinds of crap.
That cold air blows in and that hot air just blows out. It blows out the other side. You can't pin it down.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be good. But, oh my goodness, the deer were plentiful. We had lots of them. Fortunately, I put him in the honey hole because he spent 30 years hunting in the UP and he didn't see a lot of deer.
Yeah.
So last year, an 8-point wandered into him to his surprise.
Yeah.
And he took that and we had sausage at camp. This year, couple weeks ago, I was up there hunting and I saw this beautiful 8 or 10 point, maybe a 3.5-year-old, just unique looking rack, and that guy and a couple other bucks hung out in front of him just out of range for an hour.
Yeah.
So he at least had a great show.
Yep.
And you know, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the grillingguys.com, Grilling Guys Talk Network, go to our Facebook page / the Grilling Guys, give us a like, and you can check me out on Twitter, although I rarely post. It's Grilling Guy.
Where they ought to check us out at is Grilling Guys To Go on Facebook.
Grilling Guys Takeout. Yes, right. Yes. And you did take out. You were in this week, and you took out 200 pounds of brisket. How'd that go?
Well, it was a lot of work, and hats off to you, because I had some business conflicts that I couldn't get out of. And
Sounds like a dinner meeting, Conrad. What do you think?
Yeah,
business conflict. I'm sensing the Chop House or Leo's or something.
Right,
like
right.
That.
Yeah. But anyway, so Wednesday, this gig was on Thursday. So Wednesday night, Bob put that 200 pounds of brisket that we got from Sobey Meats. It was beautiful, but any brisket that you buy from any butcher anywhere is going to need trimming.
Right now in particular.
Right. And the way they're coming into the marketplace, and these are the whole packer briskets. These aren't just the flat. And Bob trimmed them up. They were beautiful. And they were on the smoker probably about 14 hours, the best I can guess. And
two smokers, actually.
Right,
took both of them.
Right. And it was wonderful. And so we sliced those all up. And then this is where we stumbled a little bit, and this because I got involved with the smoker and not Bob, is that after we got the briskets off, we had some skinless, boneless chicken thighs, and I needed to put those on there, and there was 80 pounds of those, because I was feeding 200 construction guys at the Home Builders Association, was having a clay shoot, and we went down there and brought them dinner. But anyway, the smoker, we have this good one. It's four racks. It holds a ton of food. And I filled it all up with chicken thighs. And what I did is that Bob's like, well, you ought to probably put some more charcoal in there. And I put like a 7-pound bag of charcoal on the existing fire. And I probably should have put two of them on it, right, just to get her ripping, because I just put 80 pounds of cold chicken on the smoker, right? So it was just a dumb move. We were hurrying, trying to get stuff done.
Well, that's a lot of guys to feed.
Right.
You had a cool menu. You had help from your buddy, John Hahn from Hahn Bakery in Greenville.
Right.
Made some wonderful, Conrad, you'd love this. My gosh. It was these giant Italian loaves of bread.
Ooh,
and he makes his own garlic butter with Parmesan and everything. And he threw those in the oven quickly in my big double ovens and baked them up, wrapped them in. Oh, my gosh, they were so good.
Yeah, it was good. So anyway, what happened was with the smoker so full and me under-fueling it is that we got about 2/3 of the chicken done on time, and everything that was out by the door of the smoker wasn't hot enough yet. So then we had to drop what we're doing, and what can we do? We want to get the chicken there. So Bob starts breading it and deep frying it to bring it up to temperature. And then we'd take it
out.
The
last 20 pounds, maybe.
Yeah, right. And then we'd put it in the oven to keep it warm, and it was a lot of jerking around.
Chicken jerky.
Right, but we got her done, and they ate it, and they loved it. And
they cleaned up. They licked the dishes,
right,
as I recall.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to wash them.
Right, yeah.
I just put them back in the rack.
But it's it was a big ordeal, but thank you, if there's any builders out there, to the Home Builders Association of Greater Grand Rapids, because it's a great group of guys, and we had a lot of fun.
How'd the shoot go?
I guess, you know what? A young team, I had some friends that own a company called True Media, and they brought all their kids, and I say their kids, they're late teenagers, early 20s guys that wire houses and stuff, right?
Nice.
They won the whole shoot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, those four young guys.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was cool to, you know, see the next generation, and because that's what you want in the construction business. There's a lot of old guys, and there's
you want some shooters.
Right, yeah. So it was cool all around, just a good event, and I appreciate, you know, we appreciate the business, and it was also just a great group. And I did a couple charity barbecues, and they bit them up nice. So everybody won.
So you'll be back to the kitchens, what you're saying.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, yeah, there were barbecues for 40, but the generosity in that room was big, and they ended up buying them each for $1,500. So
that's nice.
We raised $3,000 for their foundation. So good stuff.
Nice.
Really good stuff. But anyway, coming up next, there's a bounty of game in the field, and we're going to try to tackle how to cook some of it.
Well, and I wanted to add this in that this time of year, having never done a takeout restaurant, I see the market tapering down, and I'm thinking I might do the ice cream stand routine and just close for the winter.
Yeah, there you go. All right, coming up next, we're going to do some wild game recipes. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at MillbrookTack.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys. Grillin' Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, all over mid-Michigan now. I think there's six or seven of those signals out there that are bringing Jethro to your backyard. And, of course, around in Lansing and up in Big Rapids, BRN, and all over this wonderful state that is so beautiful right now with all these fall colors. But brings to mind hunting this time of year. And our state, we're so blessed with the bounty of wild game and different species that we can all hunt if you're a hunter like Bob and I are. And Thursday, the 20th, was the season opener of the pheasant season for Michigan in Zone 2. The state's divided up in zone 1, 2, 3. Anyway, our zone here opened up on the 20th of October. And if you do any of this, you know that the birds aren't that plentiful. There's pockets of them everywhere. Was talking to one of my buddies who's got a new dog, and he spent a lot of time and energy getting the dog trained so that it could hunt these 15 days, I guess it is, or something, that are pheasant season. And he went over to a place in Bath, Michigan, where our DNR is actually trying to, promote pheasant hunting, because they're putting out birds every week into the field in an open hunting area to make sure that the hunters have game to hunt, which I thought was back in the 80s, in the early 90s, there was a program called Put and Take.
Yeah.
Right? And we used to participate in that because it's been that long since pheasants have been plentiful here. But it's all about habitat is what it is, because my buddies in Shartucky, you know, like 3-4 weeks ago, I went down to that bow camp. Well, they have, they're blessed with a ton of land down there, and they manage 1 square mile for pheasant down there, which what manages means is they put crops around a giant grass field so that they've got, and then they leave them like several rows of the crops up around the grass, and the birds live in the grass and then can forage in the beans and the corn that are around it. And they shot 9 off of but that's a square mile. It's a big chunk of ground, right? But there were 4 guys down there.
They're in their 80s. So
right,
that's
yeah,
really
right,
cool.
Yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah.
But anyway, they're all grandpas.
Yeah, so it was cool just to watch them do that. But so you go out, you get a pheasant, then you've got what do you want to do with it? And wild game is a challenge to cook. Why? Because with the pheasant, generally you're not leaving the skin on the bird. You're not going to take time to pluck it. When you buy a chicken in the store, it's got skin on it. It's been commercially processed, and that system leaves the skin on. You very rarely do that when you get a game bird. You can, certainly, but it's a lot of work to pluck all those feathers. And so what happens is you've got a skinless bird that is lean anyway. The wild game is very lean. So oftentimes what we do is we brine those. Right, and the brining drives moisture and your seasonings. If you use some aromatics in a brine, what kind of a brine would you use on a wild bird, Bob?
Yeah, just like anything, yeah. Salt, sugar.
Right.
Yep. I'd probably, depending on the bird, since we're doing pheasant, I'm probably going to go with something like time, but right. I'm a time freak. Yep. And maybe a little, I don't know, usually like some garlic and possibly some onion powder, depending on how gamey it is. But pheasant right. are typically not very gamey. I mean, they're just a really clean meat.
Right.
They're very lean.
Yep, and it's dark-colored. That doesn't mean it's all dark meat, but it is dark-colored meat. And generally, another thing that it, so what do you want to do with it? Usually it's roasted in the oven or on the smoker. Because we're the grilling guys, I like smoking them. And because they tend to dry out after you've brined them even, I'll take thin sliced bacon and wrap it around the bird, kind of pull the bird together and wrap the bacon around it and really cover it, and then just set it in my smoker. And you, like all poultry or all bird, you want to get this up to about 165 internal temperature.
Okay, now let's take a time out here.
Yep.
All right. It's my understanding that when they're wild game poultry, you don't necessarily have to go that high.
Well, I don't know the rule on that.
Well, I don't know if it's a rule or history or, you know, culinary expertise, but for example, I know you used to do goose jerky.
Yeah.
What temperature did you bring that to? 135.
Yeah.
And didn't kill you.
No.
So it's the commercial poultry that you have to actually be careful. And actually, I know people that even buy Amish poultry, and they will they'll cook those to a much lower temperature. So I don't know. I'm sure the USDA has an opinion on it, like the government has an opinion on everything. Doesn't mean it's right. It's just what, you know, if you're serving it in a restaurant, what you have to do.
Right.
But I just think that pheasant, you might be able to temper just a little bit. And I'm personally thinking 150 is a pretty good temp on a wild game.
Yeah. And the way I always judged it on that recipe that I was doing with it wrapped in bacon is that when the bacon is done,
right,
then the bird is probably done. But, you know, use a thermometer.
Yeah.
Because you definitely don't want it at 125 or 130, right, like you would a piece of beef. So, but that on that smoker, I'm running the smoker 200 to 225. I don't want to sear this thing. I want to slow cook it. And because it's so lean, let that bacon just kind of keep the moisture on the outside. You can eat the bacon if you want, but for me, the purpose of the bacon is to wrap it in something that's going to continue to provide moisture.
And you're going to have a little bit of a cavity in that thing.
Yeah.
Can you maybe put some veggies in there for humidity or for hydration?
Yeah, onion. Yep, an onion would be in there.
I'm thinking celery would be nice.
Yep, and because
fennel.
Yeah, anything that's an aromatic like fennel would be, mm-hmm. or rosemary, you know, thyme, whatever it mm-hmm. is that you want in there. But it's an acquired taste a little bit because it isn't gamey, but it's just so delicate that you have to be careful not to overcook it.
Right. And it's so lean, I think, too, is a key there.
Yeah.
We did this recipe, oh, my goodness. The first time we did it was 10 years ago. And a year or two later, I was over in Wisconsin, back when I was in the hot tub factory world, and I was signing up a dealer over there. And his partner slash financer came in, and he wanted to meet me because he podcasts our show.
Oh, yeah.
He owns a factory over there. And he was so excited that I was coming over that he brought a couple of his pheasant in that he used this recipe on. After we got our deal signed, he went out and got his cooler, and he breaks out these two beautiful bacon-wrapped birds. I think he had five of them.
Well, yeah, they're on a big bird,
but
right?
He sat there and cut three of them up, and we ate right in that office, and I'm telling you, that was a fantastic recipe. I highly urge you to.
Yeah, and the full recipe's on thegrillingguys.com.
That's right.
You can find it there.
It's called Brined, Wrapped, and Smoked.
Yep, and it's really good. It works out good if you follow it. Takes a little fussing around, but if you hunt pheasants, you know how precious they are. You don't get out and like you wouldn't Dakotas and find them.
So when you clean that animal out, do you ever spatchcock it so you can get that backbone out of it?
You know, we don't. It's small. I mean, they're a small bird, but anyway,
not like a dove,
right? All right, coming up next. Don't duck out on us. We might do some duck recipe. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We were just talking about some pheasant recipe that I guess I was supposed to wait till later in the show, but we got through it. So we're going to back up and duck back into the show plan and talk about some duck recipes. Now, Bob's going to do that because I'm still a little foggy-headed from last night.
He's honest. That was brutally honest. Yeah. Yeah. So you said it wasn't the food or the drink, it was the cigars that killed you.
And I only had one, and we used to have a sponsor on the show, the Siciliano's Market. It's still called that on the west side, but it's under new ownership. And they have a very large walk-in humidor in the store, and cigars is a big part of what they do over there. And the guy was at this brewery where we were at, New Union Brewery in Lowell, and it was a beautiful night, and they had a big fire, and he's got tables and tables of cigars that he's given. So they were doing a cigar and a beer night. Well, you know, that's like a magnet to a guy like me.
Sure.
But I don't smoke cigars, and you can probably hear it in my voice.
Yeah, like, just well, you're not supposed to inhale is what I always
hear. Well, yeah, so. You're right.
And don't put it on a roach clip when you're finishing it.
Yeah. Don't light it. Yeah, I've heard.
You're not supposed to light it, yeah. You're not supposed to drink craft beer when you're at a brewery. You know, I mean, that.
When my father-in-law lived with us, he was a World War II vet, and he loved cigars. And the kids, there's 10 kids in my wife's family, and they have tons of stories about vacations or taking trips, and he always had to have a cigar going with the window up.
Oh.
And the kids would be coughing, and he'd go, Rose, the kid's getting sick. Anyway, so duck recipes, I can't claim any expertise because I'm not a duck hunter. My son-in-law is, and when I was up at deer camp last weekend, the ducks were galore on Whipple.
Yep.
And the owners of this trust don't allow duck hunting, which my son-in-law is very sad about.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even go to deer camp because he really is a duck hunter.
Yep.
Duck and turkey. So I do take him up there for turkey. But it's so cool because, of course, the flying rats, I mean, the geese were just honking away day and night. I don't know what that's about, if they're arguing that much or what, but they just are so vocal. It's crazy. Well, the ducks decided to join in on it, and I'm sure different types of ducks make different types of noises. Is that
true?
Yeah. Well, there was a group of them that just were going, wah, 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 really fast and loud, and I was just standing there watching them laughing because they were almost trying to compete with the geese. And anyway, that's an aside. As far as duck, you said I'm taking this, so I'm gonna take it down the road of the thirsty duck, which is actually a recipe you found, and it's from Thirsty's Lodge. Do you remember that trip? It was, I think, in North Dakota. You took 10 years ago. And
well, you're challenging me now. I think so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your memory's that shot. You're really leaving me hanging here.
No, the reason, we were out there pheasant hunting, not to circle back, but we were out there pheasant hunting in the Dakotas and the North Dakota, South Dakota border, and that little bar was out there. And if you've ever been on that part of the country, there are giant lakes there. But it's on flat land all the way around
Sioux Falls,
it.
Right?
Yeah, right. Yep. And you get up there and there's just all kinds of ducks and geese because it's in that Mississippi flyway, right? So all the birds that are flying south for the winter are coming right through there. And you can see just the sky gets black sometimes with these giant thousands and thousands of flocks of ducks. So you guys will go out there and follow that migration all the way south that are real avid hunters. And, of course, when you shoot that many birds, you're going to do something with them. And some people sell them to restaurants out there, and other people make them. But so that thirsty duck, when you're out hunting and you find it, you go to a place called Thirsty Duck.
Yeah. Well, apparently this is looking for full-bodied plucked duck. You place it in a roasting pan, breast down, and with any wild fowl, I would always recommend that. I do that with even domestic turkey. I don't even do domestic turkey. I shouldn't say that. I recommend that. My wife takes over when it's turkey time.
Yeah.
There's two meals a year she insists on cooking. That's Thanksgiving and Christmas.
And we'll get to that in the final segment.
Yeah. or Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right. You know, if you type in Thirsty Duck recipe on Google, your Grilling Guys comes up, and it talks about Jop's trip in 2010.
Yeah.
So no wonder he can't remember. It's a dozen years ago.
Right. I can't remember what I did 12 hours ago, let alone years ago.
I saw you. Yeah. It takes some garlic and some onions, carrots, and taters, half unshaved. I'm not sure why, but beef bouillon cube, or I use Better Than Bouillon. A green apple, and you put all this in the cavity. You fill the pan about half full of water, and you add a couple pieces of bacon on the duck's back so he can't fly away. And
thick cut, because you got to keep him held down.
some black pepper and oregano and a little cherry wine.
Right.
Yeah. And then 220 degrees for 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, so you hear the theme here, moisture. Right, bacon provides moisture. The water or the in the wine mixture in there provides moisture. Again, you're dealing with a lean protein, and you have to keep it moist, or it's going to turn into shoe leather.
Well, and it's a water bird, so you want to keep the water in.
Right, right, exactly. But
so this has got to be a pretty large duck, though.
Well, yeah, I mean it's ducks are ducks. There's all different sizes and shapes.
What's your favorite eating duck?
You know, I don't really have one. It's not my favorite thing.
Now, I understand that the divers are not the best eating.
Well, I do too. I do know that. They tend to be a little more oily. Mm. It's kind of like a lake trout, right?
Oh.
I mean, one of those where there's just their makeup in them because they're underwater more than they're above the water. So Mother Nature gave them a little protection like that, where other ducks, you know, sit on top of the water. They stick their head down and eat, but they don't dive down. And those are puddle ducks. Those are like mallards and things like that. Mm-hmm.
That's what we get up at the lake is a lot of mallards.
Yeah.
And some wood duck.
Yeah, would.
But the teal are the divers, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And they're small.
They're pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're gorgeous.
They're pretty.
Yeah.
You got that green head. And
yep.
Who doesn't like a little green head?
Duck is good. The other way I like to do it is a couple of years ago when I was down in Shartucky, the guys brought in some mallard. But
Time out. This is an apology to anybody who lives in Charlotte. We don't all think it's Shartucky.
Sure it is.
Randy's.
I grew up there. I own the option to call it
Shartucky. He's gotten very uppity since he left.
I'm a Shartuckian. I am a Shartuckian. I own that. But because you lived there and grew up there, I can call it that. But
okay.
You can't. But I can.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Here we are.
For thee and not me. I see.
Yeah. But our friends at Old World Olive Company have some fruit-infused balsamic vinegars. And I took a duck breast and sliced it really thin on the grill and then just sprinkled some of that. I mean, thin, maybe like quarter-inch medallions off this duck breast. And I put it on the grill for maybe a minute on each side and sprinkled it with
pear.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. It was a pear balsamic, and it just turned out great. And that's all I did for seasoning on it. But they're so thin, and it was so tender.
So you wouldn't salt that?
No, I don't. It doesn't need it.
Yeah,
it doesn't need it. But to your comment earlier about getting it done to 165, I know that wasn't.
Yeah, there you go.
Right,
it there
was,
you go.
It was medium.
It's all coming back.
Right,
like the Cartoon Network right now.
Yeah, it because that was medium to medium rare, but it kept it moist and it kept it. Not like
you're
jerky.
Listening to the Hangover edition of the Grilling Guys,
right.
On
hey,
Jethro FM, hey. Country.
Right. It was that last twist of the on the line that got me. I'm just telling you right now. It's always a twist. But anyway.
Okay.
I'm muscling through. We're doing okay. You don't have to listen. You can turn the damn radio off.
Hey, come on. Gee whiz.
We need alcohol in this.
Get a little ornery up in here. He didn't even have tequila.
Oh, no, he didn't. Man, but anyway, all right. Coming up next, turkeys are out in the woods right now too. So we're gonna, if you bag one of those, we're gonna talk a little bit about.
And we're putting Jop in the naughty corner. We'll be right back.
All right.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. I apologize for the rant and
the
rave
Tourette's,
in the last segment.
In the last segment.
Oh, no.
Easy. Easy.
Send your letters to Barbecue Bob, care of Jethro.
Right. And I've been putting a time out, so Bob's going to talk to you now about turkey.
Okay. While Jop licks his wounds, another cool thing happened when I was up at deer camp. Speaking of turkey, is the morning I hunted early, I got out in the dark and I got up in my tree, and I could hear the turkey starting to, like the male does one sound and the female does another.
Yeah, there's a gobble and a cluck.
Yeah.
The female's the cluck.
The cluck, yeah.
The male's the gobble.
So I heard a gobble, and it's like right behind me. I'm turning around. I'm 22 foot in the air, and I'm looking all over, and I can't see him. It's driving me nuts. And right about then, these two bucks came out and started fighting underneath me, and that distracted me. But as they're fighting, all of a sudden, these turkeys are getting louder and louder, and they started coming down. They were up in the tree.
Sure.
I snuck in under them.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost impossible.
Well, no, they don't move till daylight. I mean, unless they're roasted.
I have never, very rarely snuck that close underneath turkey.
Yeah.
You got to be very, very quiet.
Right.
So, turkey, wild turkey is, it's again, we're back into that same type of a protein. It's very, very lean. And it's not like domestic turkey. If you've never eaten wild turkey, Conrad, have you ever eaten wild turkey?
No.
Okay.
Here we are rubbing it in again.
Yeah.
I might have had a glass of that last
night. Oh, now it's, see,
coming
it
out
comes
now.
Out in dribs and drabs.
Yep.
Oh, it's all coming back to you now. Anyway, that's another bird you want to go kind of easy on your temperature and what your limit is. Again, I don't claim to be a wild fowl expert at all. I'm sure there are people that have had a lot more experience and can tell you the dangerous temperature, but I can tell you the terrible temperature, and that's too high because it's very, very lean. And again, if you're not using something to keep that thing moist while you're roasting it, you're going to have, it's going to be like Christmas vacation where they're pulling on jerky.
Well, a lot of people will roast the turkey in a bag, you know, or in a roaster with a cover on it. And again, what you're doing is you're trying to keep the moisture.
They do wild turkey that way?
Well, yeah.
Don't you just breast it out?
Yes, because
those legs are stringy.
Well, they are, and a wild turkey runs 30 more times away from fright than it does to fly. It flies up in a tree. It roosts at night. It flies back down. Most of the rest of their life is spent on the ground, walking around. Those leg muscles get used their whole life, and they're tough, right? In my opinion, the breast meat is where 90% of the guys will just breast out a turkey and use it. But there again, now you're with skinless meat again, so you've got to keep it moist.
But at least it's boneless.
Well, there's a breastbone in there.
But if you're breasting it, you're not taking the breastbone.
Yeah. So I talking to my buddies that do this more than I do, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, and it's like there wasn't any of them that were like, man, that wild turkey, that's the best thing I've ever had. It's like, it's tough to cook. It's tough if you overcook it. And they just like, we tried
it's
making
just okay.
Yeah, we tried making jerky out of it, and that was okay, but nobody was
really?
Like, yeah, out of the breast meat. They just cut it in strips and marinate it in a teriyaki or something and throw it on a smoker. And it's okay, but it's not great. There's no fat on them. Where you get a domestic turkey that's been raised in a barn, and they feed it, and it gets fat on it. And that fat is flavor, but it's moisture, too. And then they'll pluck those. When you get one, if you go to the grocery store or go to the farm, you're going to get it. It's going to be plucked. The skin's going to be all on the turkey, right? Again, you can do that with a wild turkey, but it just takes a long time, and it's a messy process.
And I wonder if the fat on a wild turkey's is flavorful. It's
just not as much of it.
Oh,
that's what it is. There's very little of it because they're a foraging bird. They're moving
running for
all
their
day.
Lives.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So where the pen raised ones, the domestic ones, they're not running 10 miles a day.
And they're easier to shoot.
Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, so a couple of years ago, 4 or 5, I started spatchcocking my Thanksgiving turkey. Domestic that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
But that made a huge difference. And if you don't know what that is,
your wife isn't going to stuff it.
Right, right. Well, and we did the stuffing outside the bird in a pan, right? Some say that's cheating and it doesn't provide as much flavor. I mean, the trade-off for that is that spatchcocking is we're taking the backbone out of it and then the rib cage, and then you lay it flat, the back legs splay out left and right, and then the breast meat is on the grill side, the inside of the turkey is where I leave that on the smoker the longest, and then the inside is down on the smoker, right, and the skin side is up, and it's just, it cooks more evenly. It cooks in about 3 hours, and it's just wonderfully juicy.
Now, again, depending on if you're grilling or smoking, if you're spatchcocking, one really nice way to do that so that you don't destroy your meat with flame or heat is to put a bed of herbs down. And that's where, I don't know if you can get stalks of fennel, if it comes in like that or not, but I love fennel with turkey. My sister used to make a fennel stuffing, sausage and fennel stuffing, and it's just so good. That's one of the few times I ever eat fennel.
Yeah,
because I don't know what else to do with it.
Toast by it in the spice aisle, right?
So that's wild versus domestic, and I'm just wondering, if anybody has any experience smoking wild turkey breasts, because.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what pretty much a lot of people do with it.
No, but. I mean anybody in our audience that wants to light us up on Facebook, because I would love to see or hear some stories about the luck, do's and don'ts in particular, because we're a community. We need to help each other learn some of these things. Jop and I can't possibly claim to know everything there is to know about grilling, all these things. We're just, you'd have to be 200 years old to get that.
Well, that and the fact that with ducks, you have a multiple duck limit per day. With pheasant, you can get 2 per day and I think like 8 per season. Turkeys, 1.
Per
day. You get 1 in the spring.
Per day.
No, you don't get 1 a day. You get 1 in the spring and 1 in the fall. Right, yeah. Well, yeah, anything's legal if you don't get caught, right?
Well, but, I don't know why that's so limited either, because we have so many turkey, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the law. It's the way it is. It's kind of like that new deer law that they tried to get it turned over, that now you got to report your kill within 3 days.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Right, yeah. I don't know. But there's ridiculous, you know, penalties, 90 days in jail and $1,000 fine,
really?
If you get caught with a deer that you didn't report within 3 days. And reporting is by internet or cell phone call in, or you can drive by. Yeah. And, you know, there's guys on the
news.
What
in the world is this coming to?
Well, the DNR is
90 days in jail?
Yeah, right, for shooting a legal deer and just not telling anybody about it. Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous. But they tried to get that repealed, but in the House and the House and the Senate passed it, and Gretsch, our governor, vetoed it. And so there, you still got a report.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were trying to make it not happen. And, it, you know, because, I mean, it's really, we've been hunting deer since the beginning of time.
I reached out.
What's up with that?
I reached out to her and asked her if she wanted to come on the show and do a little, if she has any grilling skills. I haven't heard back.
Right.
I did the same thing with her, Tudor Dixon, her opponent.
Oh, yeah?
I haven't heard from either one of them.
Well, but, you know.
You know, just because they're girls doesn't mean they can't come on a guy's show.
That's right. And they should, because they're, one of them's going to be our governor.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, regardless of how you lean, right or left, you guys probably all know what we're thinking, but at the end of the day, one of them's going to be our governor, so it'd be fun to have him on. But you know what? We're just not quite that big time.
No.
I don't think.
I know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
They might come on after the election.
I told you so.
Yeah.
I'm a vegan, you idiot.
Yeah. But yeah, there you go. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. Look us up online. Grilling Guys Takeout is on Facebook. There's a wealth of information in our website for all these wild game recipes. We actually have posted several of them. That's at thegrillingguys.com. So,
and if you have any barbecue events, or if you have any, like I'm booking graduations right now for next year, go to the Facebook page, Grilling Guys Takeout, and send a link, because we're filling the calendar up, and we'd love to do your Christmas party, Thanksgiving, turkey, whatever you want.
Right.
But the catering side is going to go right through the winter. The takeout side, I don't know. I'm thinking might be the ice cream stand.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're getting up in a tree, be safe getting up and down, and enjoy this wonderful color of the season, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.